And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, here right next to a very busy San Diego landings for mid-November, for sure, with Captains John McCarty, Captain Chris Roop from McCarty Yacht Group, having a great time talking about buying, selling boats, and just fishing in general, and really fun, unbelievably good, valuable information for those people that love to own boats or buy boats or sell boats or
this is
whatever.
Awesome,
it's really good stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
And fun time, and we're giving away a great prize, right?
No, you're not kidding. If you didn't catch the beginning of the show, one lucky caller or texter at the end of today's show is going to win a full-day trip going fishing on board the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing. I mean, what can you say about the type of year that Captain Matt Brawler, Captain Ryan Boshin have had on that San Diego? The incredible tuna fishing, the great islands fishing, and man, yeah, one lucky caller is going to get to go experience that great fishing with those guys. And man, again, if you want to join us, we just want to hear from you. 213-432-1090, that's the phone number, or send us a text. Only texting available is through the Let's Talk Hookup app. Free download. And again, we mentioned a couple of times, but make sure you include your contact info when you're sending those texts through.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to continue on with our catch report as promised. We got the surf guru himself, Gundy Gunderson, is on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Hey, gentlemen. How's it going?
Gundy.
Boy, that sounds like fun, that little combo trip.
Yeah, right.
On that 60-mile bank. You know, we had a trip where we were fly lining for small bluefin and catching rockfish on the fly line. That's how that place can go.
You probably scooped some bait into the Fin Fever back in the day, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yep. Very good fisherman.
Yep.
Very
How
good.
How you doing, Gundy?
Good.
Good, good.
You know, the laws of gravity finally hit here on the beach. You know, water temperatures dipping. Water cleaned out quite a bit, so that bait situation's kind of changed. It's not really in the shallows like it was. Guys scratching at some halibut. The best bet was up north. On the barred perch, I'd say from Santa Barbara out west there to Gaviota and then south to probably County Line. All through there, really good perch fishing, mostly limits, you know, fish to 12, 13 inches. You know, we've talked, I want to talk real quick about the drop shot rig. You know, we've been talking about it a lot lately, and it's really, especially this time of year when it starts cooling and you're going to more finesse, and then, you know, a few weeks ago we're talking about bait concentrations and how well this fish, you know, it started as a bass fishing rig and really took bass fishing by storm. A lot of guys use it, still use it. It's a go-to rig, especially in finesse applications. You know, in the salt water, the shallows, we fish it probably mostly 6-pound test to 17-pound test, something like that, and the key is that the hook is in line. So there's nothing between you and the hook when the fish is on the hook, you know. So you get a real positive hook set and excellent sensitivity, and that's what makes it such a good finesse bait. There's no sinker in between you and the hook. There's no slack, as with a dropper loop or a reverse dropper loop, where you pick up the weight of the sinker, then you come tight on the hook. So it's a unique setup. I tie a Palomar on there and then leave a tag end of anywhere from 12 to 18 inches, maybe even 24. It just depends on the habitat you're fishing. You like the hook upturned. They make a whole bunch of different sinkers, you know, dropper loop sinkers that pinch on the line are the most popular. And I like tying a little knot below that, just so the sinker doesn't slide off too easily if you get a light snag or something like that. And then the hook style, you know, mostly they're mosquito styles. Nowadays, they make a whole bunch of different dropper loop hooks. Even a hook that has a swivel on the top and the bottom. And as for hook design, you know, what works best with the plastic you're using? And the plastics are usually soft jerk baits, you know, flukes, finesse, Spankos, Sluggos, things that have real subtle action that work real well, moved slowly or with slight jerks and things like that. But guys experiment with everything. I've seen swim baits work, like the old Reapers, creature baits, you know, for the bass guys. So it's such a versatile setup, and it's a slower presentation, but an extremely efficient one, you know, as exampled by all the catches on it in recent weeks. So, a lot, you know, we could talk about technique maybe we will another time, but that's the setup in a nutshell.
You know, Gundy, I never, obviously, the thing we like the most is epic fishing reports with good fishing everywhere, but I swear, sometimes I look forward to rainy days or stormy days because you bust out pieces of info like this. Like, it's my favorite part of the reports that you do sometimes, and I love it, man. You always do such a great job sharing info with everybody, and yeah, whether we have stormy or good fishing next week, whatever it is, I look forward to it, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate that, Rocka. You know, I love to teach, and that's kind of when guys have success, that's what gets me going.
Well, we dig it, man. That's why you're the best. Gunny, appreciate it.
All right, great show, guys.
Thanks, good, buddy. Look forward and talk to you next week.
Have a nice week.
Well, that's going to wrap up the Catch Sport today. Hey, again, want to remind you the 2024 Bill Varnay CCA Sport Fishing Calendar is available. You can pick it up at your local tackle stores, all the landings. It's loaded with great photos, information, and for sure the best tide charts. Get your calendars. They are available today.
All right. Hey, let's jump into those phones.
You got it, buddy. How about this time we talk to Ryan? Ryan's calling us from Irvine this morning. Good morning, Ryan. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm in the market myself and looking to get a boat, but the type of hull is kind of not really popular out in the market. I'm trying to get something like a Del Mar 13, and my question is, how would you go about getting a custom fitted hull, like as an example, if I want a Del Mar 18 or Del Mar 15 instead?
Well, to get a hull like that, you're going to have to talk to somebody willing to build one. Those guys up at Anderson were kind of popular with that Del Mar hull, and they were producing a few of them. However,
what's a Del Mar hull?
So that was a copy of that's going to be tough to jog my memory to dive into it, but it was basically a copy of something similar to a not a Livesay, but one of the Hobie,
small cat style though.
Hobie. Yeah, not a cat.
Not a cat.
No,
okay.
But it's a single. But anyway, okay. Those guys
Anderson, like a Hobie power.
Those guys up at Anderson, I believe, got the molds for that, and we're producing them. And then there's that Pinchy Fondo down in Ensenada that he's got a pseudo hull like that as well. So you'd have to talk to one of those guys. Now, with all that being said. Building small boats like that is not a huge money maker for them, so obviously they're, you know, more into building a traditional style Anderson boat. I don't know if that helps you at all, but you know, the guys down in Ensenada, I don't have any contact information for him. I know they're on like Instagram and that. He might be interested in building you a custom, you know, hull of that design.
There you go. Appreciate it, Ryan.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. You have a good one, huh?
I thought so. You know, different. We've talked so much about the machinery side of things. I thought this was a great text. It's a hidden electrical bombs, please. Can you please ask the McCarty boys about the most common and usually unseen electrical system issues that purchasers of used boats may overlook? That's from Norman in San Diego.
Well, I'll tell you that these new pod drives, especially the Zeus drives.
Yeah.
So that's all fly by wire, and when the Zeus pod drive gets wet and that wiring gets wet, there are all kinds of gremlins that come up. So those are the ones that I really, really want to pay attention to, because when you lose that, or there's communication issues, you don't have power, you don't have steering, you don't have anything, right?
What? So I guess you're not a fan of Zeus drives.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
I think the technology is coming, and it's not going to go away, right? But I think it's still, they need to improve upon it. It needs to get better.
It seems every time I've ever heard of somebody with Zeus drives, they seem to be repairing their boat a lot.
Yeah, those and the IPS drives, they're a concern. In my world, or our world today, they're a concern. I think it's going to get better, but it hasn't yet.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in like the commercial world, that stuff is running every day, and they don't have problems with it. But
all the tugs and stuff like that.
All the big
tugboats,
all those guys are all using big stuff built by Rolls-Royce. But this stuff, it's not perfected yet.
What's the advantage of it? So say it is perfected and it's running right. Why does one choose that system of propulsion over traditional?
Well, I think they promote the ease of driving more than anything else because you've got the joystick driving, right?
And efficiency as well.
And efficiency. But again, you know, they just need to get it
right. It's not there yet.
It needs to get it dialed in a little bit better.
Yeah. What's your thought, Chris?
Well, we've kind of dove into this subject with a couple different mechanical surveyors, and one of them he says, choose your poison. Would you rather have an outdrive leaving in the water 365 days a year, or would you rather have a pod drive? And he goes,
it's the same thing.
It's the exact same thing, and you're going to pay regardless.
Yeah, no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you watch the Instagram posts and stuff of all the big mechanics, you know, and every day they're changing out pod drives. Yeah. Every day. And again, like I said, the technology's not going to go away. It's only going to get better. But
cool concept, but not quite there yet for yachts.
Exactly.
Yeah, would be kind of my takeaway from what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, if you want to get through on the phones, 213-432-1090. Open right now. I have another great texter from Ryan in San Diego, and he says, hello, gents. Been fishing in SoCal waters for 23 years, all sorts of private boats. I am the least handy person in the world. Driving a nail into a 2x4 is a struggle. Which boat engine setup between 25 and 30 feet is foolproof for me?
Outboard. Definitely outboard.
Okay.
Yeah. You get that. You don't have a tight engine room. You got to go down and work in. You don't have the corrosion issues. The machinery is typically above the water when not in use. Outboard, in my opinion, is by far the way to go. Especially with the newer 4-stroke equipment. It's maintenance. Limited maintenance as far as what needs to be done. Like the cost of doing business with an outboard is the way to go.
If you have a boat that lives in the water, having stuff in the water, especially like an outdrive or a pod drive or something like that, is just it's just nothing but issues, right?
Nothing but issues.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, people don't see those issues, especially the pod drives as an example. You know, when you get water immersion into that drive, they don't know it. And then they run them and they damage them. And they basically need to be replaced at about $30,000 a side. It's expensive.
Yeah. That being said, there's some pretty cool single inboard boats around, right? But again, anytime you go inboard, you're dealing with issues, right?
Well, not necessarily, but you're limiting your maintenance with a single inboard, but you've also got to find a boat that's designed for that application. And then now you're dealing with maneuverability issues. You don't have the maneuverability like you do with an outboard or twin engines, or you need a whole other skill set to be able to operate a boat with a single screw.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So outboard power.
Outboard power.
Yeah, especially with the technology today.
And that's specific to boats under 30 feet.
Under 30 feet.
Yeah, when you get up above 30 feet, 30 feet and above, I mean, I'd be looking at inboard powered direct drive.
Right.
I prefer diesel. I'm a diesel guy.
Yeah.
That's a better application. But anything 30 feet or less, I would suggest the outboard.
Back in the old days, when I was a kid, gas inboard engines were kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. I remember we had a 38-foot Tallygraph with twin gas outboards, right?
Right.
You just don't see that anymore.
Well,
unfortunately,
with the price of gas and fuel today, I mean, it costs a lot to run those boats.
Yeah.
You get a lot of free ice at Summit with a couple of big gassers in there.
Yeah. But diesel power is much more reliable, would you say?
It's much more reliable, and it's cheaper to operate.
Well, the diesels now compared to when you were talking about when, you know, the gas application. They didn't have smaller diesels that produce the horsepower that they do now in a lighter weight configuration. The traditional, it was like, oh, you know, you got to put a Detroit in there, a two-stroke cycle Detroit diesel to get that kind of horsepower that, you know, was in a V6 or a V8 application, and there was just no room for that in that 30 to 35 foot range. So that's why you saw the gas motors.
Then Yanmar and Cummins and some of these other guys have gotten in the market, and they build an engine that fits in that 30 to 35, 38 foot range, and they do real well. They get good power, good fuel consumption, good weight to power ratios and all that.
Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, another great text came through from Huey from Torrance. I said, my question is for Chris. How many hours should I get out of a 200 four-stroke Yamaha with proper maintenance and care? It's from Huey in Torrance.
What was the horsepower on that?
200 four-stroke.
I've heard of guys down in Mexico, and this came specifically from John Ireland. He says they do very little maintenance on their outboards on the Pongas down there. 5,000 to 7,000 hours, I've heard of crazy numbers like that, without even doing a freshwater flush at the end of the day, running them up on the beach. You can imagine the sand intake and everything else. But properly maintained, I mean, I wouldn't even blink an eye at 5,000 hours out of one of those motors.
Especially in Yamaha.
Absolutely.
Yeah, especially.
They're great. Hey, with that said, we're going to find out what's going on the water now. It's time for our FishDope.com report with Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guy. Today, that catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. The best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros the market, you can purchase their famous spices, rubs, and their pokey kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at Fisherman'sProcessing.com. Be sure you make those processing reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Good morning, John. Good morning, Chris, Pete, Rick. Hey, I'm the poster boy for those Zeus drives. I know John remembers. I got stuck on a Michelson. I was the first guy to bring one to Cabo, and I got stuck. Dwayne Diego's very first trip down the Baja, we got stuck in Santa Maria Bay for 14 days.
I remember it well. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good, buddy, good. You can open that engine, John, Chris, myself, Pete, Todd Manter, Steve Lasley, the great Pete Grossbeck. We could all sit there and stare at that thing, and none of us could figure out how to make it run. Those things suck. I don't care who you are. You can't figure it out. All that wiring, the minute it touches water, and I don't know if you know, but there's water on boats. So it's kind of a funky design. But the fishing right now, look at Chris, what Mike did. That's insane what's going on down there. That bluefin, we're in the middle of November. It's still really good bluefin fishing. But the big news, Pete, Rick, is there's so much squid. Catalina's got squid in four or five different spots. I just talked to Danny Lynch. He said there's squid all over Catalina. There's squid on the horseshoe. There's squid up at the condos up there at the Channel Islands. There's squid at all the Channel Islands. There's squid all over the place. So it's just going to be a spectacular, spectacular winter. But we're going to see some really phenomenal sea bass fishing. I have a feeling that we're on that projectile with all this bait that's in the system. And then Catalina, Pete, you're gonna love this. It is historic how good the lobster fishing is right now. It is absolutely amazing. One of our members went over there with only five hoops and his buddies. They caught limits of bass, limits of bonita, a handful of barracuda. They threw their nets in the water, and with only five nets, four guys, they had limits before 7 o'clock at night. It is really, really good over there at Catalina right now. And then I heard Brian Woolley saying we got some weather coming the end of the week. We're all, I know I'm a weirdo, but we're all fired up for the weather because that means that lobster's going to crawl really good on the beach. So everything's set. There's no reason to put your rods and reels away unless you just don't want to fish anymore, because there's plenty of fish to catch. You just got to get out there and go fishing.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I've talked to a few people that have been hooping San Diego Bay. They say it really sucks
right now.
I don't know why. And I hooped a few weeks ago, and it was not good for me. I don't know what's going on in the bay, but for whatever reason, I'd say go to Catalina. That'd be much better. Maybe after this little bit of rain, we'll have something happen. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, I think it's going to get better when we have a little bit of weather. I've been told by my members down there in San Diego that there's just a phenomenal amount of boats. It is. If you want to see a lot of boats, if you want to go, maybe take John and Chris down there with you and go pick out a boat to buy. It's really beautiful right now. Lots of beautiful lights and 10 hoops per boat, probably 300 boats on the weekend out there. You could pick out a really nice boat. Check it out on the water. There's lots of boats.
There you go. And, of course, Danny, you mentioned Danny. He's on the case on fishdope.com. Use the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code to get $20 off fishdope.com. And, Dave, how do we find you?
Well, gang, I'm on social media. It's Your Saltwater Guide. I'm kind of hard to not see. Your Saltwater Guide, and if you're tired of fishing for boats, you can always sign up to my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. I work hand-in-hand with Danny Lynch.
I'm sure there's very good advice on your website on how to fix a Zeus drive, too, right?
Yes. Yes.
You can call John and Chris and find a boat that doesn't have one.
Yeah, don't buy a Zeus drive, gang, unless you just like to spend a lot of money and time fixing stuff.
Yeah. All right. Hey, great, Dave. Thanks a lot for the call.
Hey,
and we'll talk to you
see
next
you,
Sunday.
All right, you guys. It's been a pleasure. See ya.
Yeah, all right. That's going to wrap that up. Again, sponsored by Terrafin, sea surface temperature charts. Focus your offshore fishing in the most productive areas by using Terrafin, sea surface temperature, chlorophyll, currents, and more. With Terrafin Mobile, you can access charts on your phone or any mobile device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. And I'm sure if you pulled every person who takes people fishing for a living is serious about it, there's nobody that goes without a current water chart. Terrafin's one of those things that is just an absolute must have for everybody.
And you can take it with you on your mobile device. That's the coolest thing.
It is probably the cheapest fish finding tool that you can buy. A yearly subscription is still so inexpensive. I'm a huge fan of Terrafin. Always have, always will.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, let's jump back on the phones. You want to get through your chance? 213-432-1090.
Dan from Seal Beach is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I thought I would just add something to your show. Maybe you guys covered it, but when I was purchasing a boat a few years back, I couldn't find one in Southern Cal, but I ended up finding a few down in Florida, and I almost pulled the trigger on buying one, but then discovered it had been through a hurricane. And that was a no-go. So, because you guys are talking about electrical wiring and everything else, so I'm glad I chose not to do that. So, thought I would add that to your show.
No, that's very good, and it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Right,
kind of goes hand in hand with what I was saying. Mm-hmm. You got to really dig deep and make sure that those boats are okay.
Especially smaller boats, like trailer boats and stuff like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's just a hot, salty environment, and then you add a hurricane to it, and, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster. And you know, if you find a good one over there, great, but you need to really look at them closely.
There again, too, that's having good representation, someone to represent you who's going to go there and dive into the boat with you and make sure somebody's not covering something up. So that's why we're true believers in proper representation.
Paying for somebody to fly back there and put eyeballs on that boat is the cheapest thing you are going to do with that boat. You know what I mean? Like, paying whatever it costs, paying that $1,000 to find out you shouldn't have bought that boat will be the cheapest thing that you pay for in your boating experience, no doubt. You will be chasing gremlins and boat problems the entire existence of having that boat, and like paying a professional to go through it and realizing it's not the right move, it will be so much cheaper than anything on the back end of it.
Yeah. When I was in the market for buying before I bought Field Research, I flew to Texas with a broker, Pete Jacalone, super knowledgeable guy. He's commercial fishing now. And we had a full survey done, hauled the thing out, spent a fortune, flying there, having it all checked out. And survey checked out, everything was great. And Pete says, don't buy this boat. He says, I see things that aren't coming up on survey. You don't want this boat. And I didn't buy it.
And that was another one of those.
Because I took a guy like John or Chris with me to see things that other people aren't going to see.
And that was a boat, too, that, like, going back to one of those first things, that was a boat that your eyeballs told you really wanted.
Nice.
Like, you wanted that
price was right, everything, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason I'm going to Washington tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Put the eyeballs on. You get somebody who's super knowledgeable putting eyeballs on it. It's a different story than just a standard survey.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So, hey, a great text came through from Nick in Temecula. Said, everything you've said has been true and more. Johnny didn't just have my back and my purchase, but pointing out what was wrong, but also told me what it would take to fix and how much it would take, gave me plenty of opportunities to back out, and we ultimately made the right decision and got the boat. My question, Johnny did it for me, but somebody without him in his corner, what's the best way to find out the back history of a boat?
Call me. Nick, how are you? Good to hear your voice, buddy.
Especially a boat in Southern California, because you probably know them all,
exactly.
Right?
Well, I don't know about that, but we'll dig deep for sure. And,
yeah.
And we got a good one. That was a great boat. And, there was a history behind the boat. But that boat had been gone through and repaired by the right guys down here. And although there was a few little gremlins, we knew that it was going to be a good boat, and it has proven to be just that boat.
What
and
kind of boat?
It's a 45 Cabo Express.
Nice.
And it's a pretty impressive rig. And, I mean, it's really well outfitted.
Nice.
Yeah, so Nick's a great guy, great owner, and he puts the love into the boat that it needs. And he's made it really a great boat. He took a good boat and really made it a great boat.
Yeah.
There again, like, I couldn't stress that enough. I love what you guys do. I mean, just because there is a quote-unquote problem on paper doesn't mean it's not something that's easily overcome. I mean, even... problems do happen,
yeah.
and properly fixed, they're not problems anymore. But,
right.
Something on a piece of paper could steer you away. And, again, a lifetime of expertise, you guys know the person who fixed it and how it was fixed. All right, well, scratch that off the list.
I remember I had concerns about the boat, and I spoke with Nick about him, in detail, and said, hey, I think this boat's a good boat, but here are the things that I see. And, do you want to keep looking? These could be a problem. And he said, no, I like this boat. Let's dig into it. So we dug really deep.
That's cool.
And figured out what it was going to take to fix these few things. And he's followed through, and we've gotten the right guys on the boat, Derek Ropes and some other guys that are really really talented guys. And it ultimately became a great boat. And I think the boat. It was the old Journeyman. It's a great, great Cabo.
Oh, it's a good boat.
Yeah. Great boat.
Yeah.
That is a very well outfitted boat.
Yeah. For sure. Hey, great. If you want to get through, 213-432-1090 open right now. Lots of texts coming through. So if you want to get through, easier to get through on the phones right now and ask your question at 213-432-1090. Text from Corey in Escondido says, good morning, guys. I have a quick question. If a 25-foot inboard-outboard trailer boat here in SoCal has been sitting in a garage unused for several years, what would be your first concerns to look for before buying that boat? Chris is smiling.
Yeah.
Been through this, right?
Yeah. Survey, mechanical. I mean, you're going to have to run the whole gambit on that just to make sure the boat's going to perform. Boats that sit, I don't care whether they're in the water or out of the water, it's just the worst thing for them.
Worst thing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if it's in the water, sitting is worse than out of the water, but still, you're going to have to run the gamut on that and get some good eyes on it to make sure that thing's going to perform.
Yeah. Sitting in the water, of course, is worse than sitting out of the water, but still, a boat sitting out of the water is going to look really nice, right? Especially if it's garaged or covered or something like that, but then you don't know what's eating away. The salt water has been eating away inside, right?
Even fresh water. You get fresh water that sits in, exhaust risers and heat exchangers, and, there's still a bit of electrolysis and deterioration going on that it's behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great information with the boys from McCarty. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, everyone. James Holst here with Norsk Lithium, the official battery partner of Let's Talk Hookup. Here at Norsk Lithium, we have two goals that drive who we are and what we do. The first is to make the highest quality, longest lasting lithium batteries available with a complete lineup of batteries that include 12, 24, 36 volt, and starting batteries. Second, in addition to offering a 10-year warranty on all Norsk Lithium Marine batteries, we provide amazing customer service both before and after the sale. It doesn't doesn't matter if you're looking to upgrade your current batteries tomorrow or a year from tomorrow. We're here to answer your rigging questions to get everything set up right the first time. Find us online at norsklithium.com. That's N-O-R-S-K lithium.com. Or call us at 831-232-9063. Or to see Norsk Lithium batteries in person, stop by the Trolling Motor Doctor in Lakewood and have Nick Wayne walk you through why Norsk Lithium batteries should be in your boat.
Long range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body when throwing jigs. The Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability. You'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing through the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. So much killer info to be had. Been a busy morning on the phones, even busier on the text. But if you want to join us, still plenty of time. 213-432-1090. Or again, hit us up on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, Mike in Orange County has an interesting text here. He says, when purchasing a home, you are protected by title insurance and escrow services. Are these parts of a boat purchase process? That's a good question.
No, I mean, that's why we have to do the due diligence that we do. You know, once you buy it, you own it, and you own the problems that come along with it. So we try to eliminate that by really identifying all of that and so that there's true transparency and you can see all of that up front. And then we decide whether or not we want to fix it or not and or move on and find something else.
When you buy a boat, is it similar to buying a car as far as registering it and the actual ownership process?
Well, there's different ways in which to purchase the boat. You know, it can be state registered, it can be U.S. documented, right through the Coast Guard. Boats are bought in LLCs. There's all kinds of different ways in which to do that. So I think it's boat specific.
Let's talk about LLCs because that's kind of the new thing now, and it has a lot of tax advantages. Why don't you explain that to us?
So the LLC, if the boat is a single asset to that LLC and it has no other assets and it comes back as being clean, the LLC is clean without any liens or encumbrances or any of that kind of stuff, the advantage is that it becomes now a membership transfer of the LLC versus a purchase of the boat. So there's no sales tax involved in the purchase.
Makes it more attractive to sell the boat.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's involved in setting a boat up? Like, let's say if I buy a boat today and I want to put it into an LLC, what's involved in that?
So we work with a couple of maritime attorneys down here. One, Paul Trusso, the other is the Winther Group. Both are great at what they do. And they are the guys that structure all that and they put it together. And it's about $3,500 to do that, but I think the advantages of it are huge. There's
liability.
I would have thought liability issues, tax advantages when it comes to selling the boat. You know, it makes your boat apples to apples, if you're looking at two boats at $500,000 each,
exactly,
and if one's in an LLC and one isn't, I'll tell you which one I'm buying.
Yeah.
The one in the LLC.
Yeah, because that's, you know, you're looking at 9%. Difference, yeah, right?
Exactly. I'm shocked that it's that little. I would have thought so much more than that.
Yeah. Plus the liability aspect,
absolutely.
Too. Yeah. I mean, if you run over a kayaker or God forbid, hit somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's advantages to all of it. So I think the LLC is a good way to go. And I'm not sure it's right for every application. Small boats, maybe not so much because of the cost. Maintaining that LLC. But anything that's, you know, $300,000 and above or, you know, maybe $500,000 above that, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's unique to California, too, because if you go to Florida, Washington, the cost of purchasing a boat, you know, tax-wise, is you don't have the same exposure like you do here.
Right.
That's why it's difficult to find a boat in an LLC in other states.
But you see them a lot here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's big here. You know, like to Chris's point, in Florida, their tax structure is tiered. They were losing billions of dollars, and they decided to revamp that whole tax structure, and so it's tiered based on how much money you spend on the boat, and I think it's the ceiling on it's like $18,000. So you could buy a boat that's $50 million, your tax is $18,000.
Really?
That's pretty cheap, right?
Yeah.
Here you'd pay 9% of that $50 million, right?
Yeah.
It's a huge number.
Yeah,
so big difference.
Pretty
That's wild. Hey, the phones are packed up. Let's jump back into them. This time we're going to talk to Jim. Call us from National City. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple of things. I just got off the Condor on a two-day trip. I'll give you a report on that. But your guest in studio today, could you give me their website? My son's friend is looking at a boat. I kind of mentioned it to Pete a couple of weeks ago. And he's a school teacher doing research on buying a boat. But maybe you give me that address of your guest or their website so Anthony Frank can
check. Yeah, so you guys have a website?
We do. It's McCartyYachtGroup.com. And I can tell you that the
website... McCarty.
Correct. And I can tell you that the website is actually down right now for maintenance, but it'll be back up in 24 hours or something like that. And they can you can find us there, and it'll have all our information.
Yeah, all the contact info.
Yeah, McCartyYachtGroup.com.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right.
All right. Hey, had another great text come through as well. This one was from Mike in Torrance. Said, I'm a San Diego long-range sport boat tuna fisherman that's looking for a change. Wanting to ask the McCarty guys... What would you recommend for a first-time boat purchaser for a guy like me that wants to target Southern California bluefin?
Well, do you have first question would be, what's your price?
Sure. I was going to say, well, maybe the two thoughts from from a smaller sport fisher to a trailer boat. What would be the two recommendations you guys would make? One looking at the sport fisher, one maybe on the trailer boat side.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I always like to find boats that you grow into, not out of, right? And so that would be the first and foremost thing. How big's your family? How many people are you taking fishing?
Right.
So, you know, as an example, a 35 Cabo or a 36 Pacifica, like the Field Research, those are great starter boats. Now, if you're looking for something smaller, obviously you get down into the Grady Whites, the Parkers, that kind of stuff, and just a different application. Some of those boats live on trailers, and you keep them at your house versus having a slip. So there's a lot of things, a lot of variables to talk about. But call us, and we'll walk through that process with you.
The phone call doesn't cost
anything. Doesn't cost anything.
Yeah. nothing happens until you buy yourself.
That's right. So give us a call.
It's all free advice.
Yep.
Yeah. Another here's another one. Good along the same lines. Gary in Fallbrook says, "Good morning. I'm planning on upgrading boats and would like to sell my current boat. I have a 2021 Parker 2320, 200 hours on the outboard. What is the process to have you sell the boat for me?"
Well, we take a look at the boat, come up, you know, run some comps for you, and give you an idea of what we think that the market would bear. Mm-hmm. At that time, if your boat is exceptional, exceptionally rigged, exceptionally clean, well maintained, good documentation on everything, well, there's a lot to say for that. Boats on the market today, the boats that are clean, that are not going to have problems, not going to have survey issues, that are well taken care of. They sell. They move. We're you know, boats like that will move all day long. That, there's no doubt about it. So
Yeah, that's a very sellable boat. Virtually new, only 2 years old, 200 hours. Yeah. And then here's the other thing, if you, Gary, is you create a relationship in having them sell the boat for you. Buying a new boat is going to be, they're going to understand what your needs are much more. And I cannot stress this enough. These two guys know how to find a fishing boat. Period. I mean, they know what to look for. They know what to see. If you are in the market to buy one or sell one, there's no two better guys in Southern California you could go to than these two guys right here.
You become part of the family, and they know electronic systems, they know bait systems. You know, you had mentioned, you know, it was part of the tax thing. If you got two boats that are $500,000, you're going to pick one over the other. Well, that same thing applies with machinery, and that same thing applies with bait systems, and that same thing applies with tower set, whatever it might be. I mean, you know, you guys have a lifetime of knowing, well, between these three, this is clearly the thing that's going to do what you want to do better than the other.
Yeah, absolutely. We first define what the right boat is in size and structure. Then we go and look at that application and look at the various boats. You know, call it a 35 Cabo. If that's the boat we land on, that's the right fit for you, then we'll go and look at every one of the Cabos and see how they're outfitted next to one another and identify the best three, and those are the ones we'd go look at first.
Yeah.
I liked another thing that you said at the beginning of the show, too, where you try to figure out the boat that somebody's going to grow into, not what they're going to get right now, and I thought that was a really good call, too. Like, you know, this is whatever boat it is. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you're talking any boat that's 23 feet or more, it's a significant purchase, and sometimes a 23-foot boat might not be the right boat for a guy because he's going to make a very significant purchase, but the difference between that and whatever it is, a 28 or a 30, that number might not be that huge, but the bigger boat really is the boat that that person needs to have, and might take somebody with that level of thought, or you might be able to provide that person the right level of questioning where, like, hey, look, I know this is what you're thinking right now, but it's going to be 2 years, and we're going to be on the drawing board trying to get this one sold, and then maybe the market's different, and this boat's available right now, and this is going to fit the family right, and you're wanting to go offshore, and you're wanting to go boat camping with the family, and you're wanting to do all these things. And
yeah, I mean, we did that with Nick, who texted in earlier. You know, Nick has a beautiful Scout, 28-foot Scout. It's a beautiful boat, and he wanted to make a jump up, and, you know, we made a significant jump up so that it's a boat that he actually grows into and he can use for several years.
Yeah. Cool.
And so we went to that Cabo 45, and, you know, other customers like Steve Rossi, who was looking at a Cabo 35, and I actually got him into a Riviera 40. Just that much more space and that much more room, and that was 20 years ago. He still owns the boat. It looks beautiful today. And then we've since bought a 58 West Bay that he leaves in Roche Harbor up north. So, yeah, you know, those are boats that become part of the family and they keep for years and years and years.
And now, Chris, are you kind of the outboard smaller boat power guy, expert on, because of all your experience in towboat and stuff like that? Are you kind of the lean-to guy? I know you do bigger boats, too, because you did a wonderful job with my boat, and you know big boats, too. But do a lot of the guys say, hey, Chris is your guy to talk to and check out this boat?
Well, yeah, part of that, too, is every boat that I've owned personally.
Yeah.
I've run the gamut between Parkers and Blackmans and Brattons and
you
Davis
see
boats.
Them all. Yeah. Yeah, you Davis, Parkers. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think John kind of defers some of that stuff to me, just because of my experience with it.
Yeah, not to say that you can't do a 35 Cabo or a 50-foot Viking or whatever, right?
No, I mean, just sold an 82-foot Horizon. It was a beautiful boat that he was operating, managing, and running, and then ended up selling that boat for north of $2 million. It was a great boat.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. That's good.
Awesome. Hey, I thought this was a very interesting text. It does, though, keep throwing right all these smaller boat questions at Chris. What an amazing show and so much great information. Thank you, guys. My question is for Chris. Chris, could you give me a little information? This is coming from somebody who owns a 21 Parker but wants to upgrade to a 25. It seems like it might be a little more difficult than just needing a bigger truck. Can you give me some of the things that I'm going to experience stepping up in size as a boat? This is from Brian in San Diego.
That was stepping up to a 25, is that correct?
From a 21.
Yeah, so a 25 Parker is a larger boat, obviously, but the thing that stands out, I had a 25. I've had a 23 and a 25, but the 25 has got a 9.6 beam on it, so you've got to take that into consideration for trailering. It's not the easiest boat to trailer around. It's a heavy boat on top of that. So that is, I would recommend that boat live in the water. It's just going to be an easier to use type program. But if you're strictly a trailer boat guy, yeah, you probably want to stick with that 8.6 beam and a little smaller boat. That would be my recommendation.
I could agree with that more. Like, our boat lives in the water, and the few times we've had stuff done to it and we take it on the road, I've driven it up to Newport a time or two. It sucks, man. And I know that there are people who are...
That extra foot makes a difference.
Oh, man, you're not kidding. I know there are people that are better than I, but I drove a big toy hauler and all the desert stuff, and I have a very appropriate diesel pickup truck to drive it. It's big, man. It's big, and it's heavy, and it wants to push you around and all those things. Like, it's just a lot of boat to drive up the 405, and those... You're right. That boat is supposed to live in the water, and that's just what they should. And the few times that our boat is out of the water, like, it's... It's a lot. It's a lot of boat on a trailer.
That being said, there's a lot of guys that have 28 and 25 Parkers that are pulling them down the road all the time.
Every day.
It just depends on how white knuckle you like to be, right?
Yeah, I'm not saying don't do it.
Yeah.
Again.
And I got to tell you, looking at boats now, one of the advantages of that 25 Parker, the 28 Parker, which is another popular model, is that 9.6 beam, you can put a big bait tank on that thing. Versus an 8.6 beam. Man, you got to get around that thing. If you put a 75 or an 80-gallon tank on there, it's tough to squeeze around that.
Yeah, I had a 100-gallon tank on my 25 Parker, and it was one of Randy Wood's very first 100 gallons that he did when he got back into the business.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's a good one. Well, let's jump back on the phone.
You
right?
Got it, man. How about this time we talk to Chuck? He's calling us from Dana Point this morning. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, you guys. Yeah, you know, I had a 25-foot Sea Ray I bought. And the guy hid that the front tank had a big old hole in it and didn't find out until we were headed to Catalina. And that thing was just pouring gas in. You know, nice bomb.
Buyer beware.
But the survey.
Buyer beware.
Yeah. Getting a good surveyor to go out with your first trip to, you know, when you go out to on your first break in, have them with you, you know. And if you're not experienced, take that boater safety course.
That's what we were saying about
yeah,
these
no doubt,
guys.
Man.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Yeah. I got a great follow-up text to what we were talking about with the LLC, and I want to thank Jim from Huntington Beach for throwing this out. Remind your listeners that if you deal with an LLC, it's several $1,000s a year to make sure you do the paperwork properly. Plus, you have an $800 per year minimum tax in California. So
yeah, that's why I made mention of the boats in that $500,000 range.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not right for all applications in the smaller boats. That's a big burden.
So if you're buying a 25 Parker, probably not worth it to put it in an LLC, unless
correct
from the liability standpoint. That's one factor there.
Yeah. There are other out-of-state LLCs that can be utilized, but you need to consult with one of the maritime attorneys on that to find out pros and cons to each. But there are ones out of state that are a lesser dollar amount each month to maintain. All right.
Said, hello, gents. Absolutely loving the show. Amazing information. I've been living on SoCal water for 23 years. I'm the least handy person in the world. Driving a nail into a 2x4 is a struggle.
We already did that one. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we did. We already talked about that one.
The boat engine setup?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
all right.
For sure. So, there's so many different... The bottom line is there's so many different factors of buying a boat. That's why you need... Guys like
that's it, man.
Chris and John
in your corner.
And like I said, you don't you don't charge for your service until something happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, the phone call's free.
Yeah.
Give us a call and we'll talk about it and see if there's a way for us to help you.
Yeah. And if this 2 hours wasn't enough of that info, I don't know.
Yeah,
this was fantastic. And when we come back, we got more of it. You stay tuned. There's more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hardworking crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and 2 interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Join Captain Mike Totter, Chef Josh Evans, as a new era begins for Searcher Sport Fishing. Mike and Josh will continue the legacy of excellent customer service, fantastic food, and an amazing crew. Book your fishing adventure now online at SearcherSportFishing.com or call Celia at 619-226-2403. SearcherSportFishing.com, 619-226-2403.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time to find out who's going fishing. We're giving away a full day trip on board the San Diego. Chris is going to do us the honors flipping that prize coin.
Flip the coins.
See ya. Today we have the caller winning, so congratulations, Dan from Seal Beach. You are going fishing on board the San Diego. You're going to have a great time, Dan.
All right. Hey, John and Chris, great information. Yeah. We don't talk a lot about this, but obviously cool. A lot of people want to know the information. If people want more information, want to buy a boat, sell a boat, just talk to you guys, how do we get a hold of you?
Well, pretty simple. McCartyYachtGroup.com. My number is 714-267-7364. And Chris, your phone number?
310-529-0491.
You're based in Newport, but you go all over the place.
Yeah,
right?
our headquarters are in Newport, but I have contacts in Cabo, and we go down there. We're on the East Coast. We're up north. We travel where we need to go.
Yeah, and find the right boats, especially specializing in fishing boats.
Yes. Yeah. Power boats. Absolutely.
Power boats. No sailboats.
Nope. No sailboats.
You want to buy a sailboat? Don't
somewhere
call
else.
McCarty Yacht.
Yeah.
No blowboaters here.
We'll refer you.
Yeah.
That way. Give us a call. We'll try to talk you out of it.
Yeah. Right. Talk you out of it. Yeah.
Be a man.
Yeah.
And then we'll refer
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me a call. I used to own a sailboat. I'll talk you out of it. Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's a different world.
Yeah. Well, this was great.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
really,
I really, really enjoyed it.
No,
so much cool info.
It was super good info. And thanks for all the input from our listeners and our texters and our callers, too. That was really good stuff. Well, hey, thanks for listening today. Once again, McCartyYachtGroup.com.
Correct.
And phone numbers one more time.
714-267-7364. Give us a call.
All right. Fantastic. Well, hey, great shows this weekend. I'll be down at Rancho Leonero for the grand finale party down there next weekend. But Rick and Corey will be here next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, it's one of the popular shows, Rick and Corey on their own, talking, just open phones, talking about calico fishing and tackle and all the good stuff that we all love to talk about. And then next Sunday, you heard it, right fresh off the boat, Captain Mike Pritchard from the Tribute will be here. So.
And Brandon's on standby.
Oh, and Brandon, oh, that's right, because it's baby time.
We're on countdown.
So, yeah, we're only a week away from that, so we'll watch for that. But thanks to JP for manning the phone. Thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.